11-hour flight, they know that something's up. Sweating me, I'm sweating G-headed. Please let me make it through security. I'm nervous as hell. Can they tell? Can they see it on my breath? I get caught in all this fuzz. I know that false floor is concealed.
Real life, I hope she got some bluffing skills. I'm stuck up here getting mugged by custom for a couple bills. Comfortable with running though, shrugging off these other deals. Glimpses from the trenches now, chilling, but this trouble feels
so intense, my dog. I'm running out of work, my pockets hurt. Customers is bugging me, product looking ugly. I'ma need to resupply, my business looking kinda dry. Order running late, it's a 8:15.
O'clock.
I'm up, my ex girl, still my ex. She had the connects, need a hit so I can flex.
Welcome to the Thank You Rob podcast. Episode number
29.
Unofficially sponsored by Pearson Salted Nut Roll. Made right here in St. Paul, Minnesota. Don't be a butthole. Eat a Pearson Salted Nut Roll. You can check out past episodes of this show at thankyourob.com, where you can also check out my graphic design work, which is mind-blowing and life-altering, known as I Define Design. You can also check out my other podcast called Some People's Kids Podcast. While you're at it, check out this podcast on Fuzz Talk Radio at fuzztalkradio.com. Yeah, I'm here with Felix, or Midway Felix.
Yeah.
How you doing, man?
I'm doing fantastic. Yeah. How are you doing?
How you living, B?
I'm living fantastically large, son.
That's good. Last episode was number 28. I had Big Zach on.
What up, Zach?
Yeah, we talked about Fuji's The Score album. Are you familiar?
I may have heard it before, once or 2 million times.
Right? Yeah, it's one of those albums, isn't it?
Yeah.
Would you put it, where would you place that? And let's say, if you had like a top 50, would it be in the top 50?
It'd be in the top 50.
Okay, would it be in the top 25?
No.
Okay.
No.
But it's in between 25 and 50, which isn't bad.
Yeah. It's a great record. Yeah. It's more for me. I mean, I know some people worship that record, but right. To me, that record is more of a marker of a time that was important.
Right.
Both in music and in my coming of age. So. Mm-hmm.
Are you a Lauryn Hill fan?
I am somewhat a Lauryn Hill fan.
Okay.
I wish she would choose one thing to do.
Yeah.
Rap or sing.
Okay.
Or apparently she has actually chosen to make babies.
Right, yeah. With the Marley family. Well, today here we're going to talk about... I asked you what you wanted to talk about, and you suggested cars, Twin Cities rap shit, and booze.
Yeah, if anybody knows me, cars was going to be on the list.
Yeah? Yeah, okay. And I don't know you until now.
Yeah.
Although, let me just take a minute, because we have met before.
Yep.
It's been a long time. I used to be in a rap group. I've had a few Johns at it, but my first was called a group called Lyrical Pedestrians. We played at The Hole.
Yep.
At the U. And I think we pretty much opened for you guys. And it was like the worst show ever. Because whatever we were doing, the people that were there to see you guys like wanted nothing to do with what we had. And as a matter of fact, they were like booing us right in the front row.
I don't know that I remember that necessarily.
It was like, man, it was bad. It was bad. And it was probably like one of our first 10 to 15 shows, you know what I mean? And I've seen a lot of terrible rap music and you know, but I don't think we were terrible, you know. But, you know, I don't know.
But, you know, I've seen a lot of really good artists get booed.
Okay. Yeah, it happens.
I mean...
It happens.
But I don't recall that. I don't remember anybody getting booed at The Hole.
Okay. What happened?
I've been known to fall asleep backstage. I don't remember that.
Front row. And, you know, I've learned a lot in playing shows when we played shows. Because I didn't even, like, meet you guys. I just kind of felt like you guys were, oh, that's the High Respects, man. They're fucking big time or something. You know what I mean? But now I'm just, now that I've matured, you know, it's like, why would I not introduce myself or meet people? Because that's what it's all about.
There's nobody in the Twin Cities that's that big time. Anybody who doesn't have time for you
is Prince.
They're either just really busy.
Right.
Or they're Prince. Or yeah, they could be Prince. Okay, he's the only one who doesn't have time for you. But everybody, you know, you might be really busy, but nobody's above you.
Right.
You know.
Right.
We're all just humans.
I like this. I like you already. I like you already. Let's be friends.
Let's do
what
that.
What are you doing after this?
Let's get a drink and talk about drinking.
So let's talk cars then. What do you know about cars?
I know a few things.
Are you talking like the band, The Cars?
No.
Okay.
No, you did. You
Shit.
Did.
I did the wrong research then.
You did. You did the Mesh One episode on Clearwater Revival. Yep. So you know, you never know. Somebody might come in with all the information on the band, The Cars, one day. No, I just love cars.
You do.
All kinds of cars. I saw a lowrider on the side of the road on the way here. Right. And I was like, oh man, I feel bad for that guy. Yesterday at a barbecue, my homeboy had his NSX out in the driveway.
Okay.
And I was like, oh man, I feel good for that guy.
When you see someone broke down on the side of the road, are you like, I feel bad for that guy, but then you kind of keep, you're like, I should help him, but you keep driving by.
Oh man, I've been the dude that stopped to help.
You have? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Especially, I mean, let's face it. So like, you have like a regular car, it's a Toyota Camry, there's nothing special about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I keep driving.
Right.
Like, no offense to you, you're probably an amazing person. But, you know, you have like a 56 Chevelle, or maybe not Chevelle, but you have like a 56 Bel Air or something mm-hmm. like that out there. Yeah, I might stop.
Right.
You know, yeah. What do you need, man?
Yeah.
maybe I got my good jack in the trunk and I can help you out quicker. You never know.
There you go. So you want to take a look under the hood? You want to check out the interior?
Yeah, I might want to look at it a little closer.
Yeah,
yeah. I've had a fascination with cars forever. I, you know, like every little kid, I subscribe to like every car magazine.
Okay.
Or every little boy, at least.
Right.
Most girls don't care about cars.
Right.
for all your female listeners, you know deep down in your heart, you don't really care about cars.
Yeah.
The one or two of you that are exceptions, I would like to meet you.
Right.
You know, get at Rob for my phone number.
They're out there.
We can talk about cars all the time. Yeah. My wife would love me to stop bending her ear on the subject.
So where did this come from? Your dad, parents, or
my mom and dad were they did product of the 60s and 70s.
Right.
They pimped out the vans.
Oh, nice.
My dad had like the Dodge conversion van fetish. He was like all about having like the diamond rear windows.
Okay.
And having the mural on the side. Yeah. And having the inside with the shag carpet and the velour upholstery and all that stuff.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah, it was,
that's cool.
That's bad.
Yeah. So
but that's coming back too, though. You're gonna see those now. You can't keep calling them rape vans because soon they're gonna be popular and you're gonna have to face the fact that you kind of
like
want one.
Any trend, it comes back.
Yeah,
it'll come back.
Yeah, and your Dodge Caravan does not qualify.
That are you familiar with that 70s show? Remember that?
Yeah, I remember that.
Because they had one where one of the kids was buying like a van to fix it up and went to van stock. Was van stock a real thing?
You know, I don't know. I wasn't around back then.
Right.
I was a tadpole.
Okay. Yeah. I'm sure.
if it was real, I'm sure my dad was there.
Yeah, he was at van stock.
Yeah, my mom and dad had a couple of them. I seen pictures. I was too young to remember all but the last one.
Mm-hmm. I remember. I really like the V-dub style vans, those like the hippie type. I don't even know do you know the model?
Most people just call them buses.
Okay.
The Volkswagen buses. Okay. And there's a bunch of different variations on them. You can get the one with the top that goes up, the camper top.
Okay.
That extends up and you can basically climb up in the extension and that's your bed.
Okay.
You know, they got everything, the toilet, the sink, the oven, everything is in there. Yeah, you
can they get were
the
that full, big.
Yeah, you can get the camper thing, or you can just get ones that like the they have like 12 window. They have, you know, the number of windows is the thing. If you got the at the back of the van, if you got the windows that curve in at the side,
mm-hmm.
hot commodity.
Yeah,
some of those things are expensive now.
Right.
But yeah,
the
some
custom
of my
curved glass.
Yeah, I know a couple cats. I'm into race cars too, and drifting in particular is something that I've been tied to for a while. A lot of my friends were into that kind of driving. And there's a crew that's, well, out of California / Chicago / Vegas. I don't really understand where they live nowadays, but one of them's got family here, and the crew is called Keep Drifting Fun. It's a couple of videographers who were out filming grassroots drifting around the U.S. They fixed up one of those Volkswagen buses and just hit the road with their cameras and went wherever drifting was mm-hmm. that wasn't like, you know, big time high dollar sponsors, you know, just the sort of grassroots events or even like the street drifting that's not really legal.
Yeah.
And they broke down, their van broke down but somewhere in Wisconsin on the way here. And one of the guys, Josh, was just like, I got family here. I'll just stay here for a while. And I'm pretty sure he's down in Chicago now. And I don't know what happened to that van, but I know that they had a little blog where they were fixing that thing up, and they had like this whole community of California drifters all excited to see the Volkswagen get out the garage and hit the road, and everybody's all buzzing about it.
Yep.
It's an orange and white thing, and it didn't run right most of the time, but they still got all over the place with it.
Yeah. Nice. You know, there's a are you a Jerry Seinfeld fan?
No.
Okay, because he actually has now he has a web series.
Oh yeah, I've seen this.
Yeah,
where he gets a different celebrity.
Yep.
And they goes on a ride to a coffee shop. Is that what
exactly.
it is?
Exactly. And every time they get there, there's a different vehicle, and it's, you know, fixed up with video cameras, and they're talking the whole time. And
yeah, I can't stand Seinfeld. I actually don't like. I never liked this show. I don't think he's funny at all.
Okay.
But I do know that
now
he
we're
is.
Not friends anymore. I don't want to be friends.
I'll be right back for the next one. I'll go study up on Seinfeld and come back. I do know that he's got a real serious collection of Porsches.
Okay.
And I do know that he's just a bona fide car nerd.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not Jay Leno status, right. but getting close.
Yeah, Leno's up there.
Yeah, Leno's... Nobody's touching him in the U.S.
Right.
Unless you're like, you know, the CEO of Ford or something like that.
Yeah. He's got the Tonight Show money.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not... I don't really know... cars as much, obviously, as you do. I'm a huge fan of lowriders.
Yeah,
lowrider cars, not so much trucks. Something about lowrider trucks that don't really do it for me. But
I'm not mad at you. I've one of my dream cars forever has been a '59 Impala lowrider.
Okay. What's a
convertible or the glass top? It doesn't matter to me.
Yeah. What's the difference between as the '59 went to progress through like the '65? Like what's the style of the car?
What's the difference?
Yeah.
Like, well, 59 was the last year of the true Finn. I mean, you know.
Okay.
You, that, so then it kind of got the one that's boxy. Got almost that bow tie thing going on at the back
right.
end where it's got the fin coming out to each side.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the last year. Wait, did it in 60? No, in 60 they also had a little bit of the fin, but they dulled it down because like General Motors already knew that, you know, the fins were out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they realized in 62, Lincoln came out with the Continental, and the Continental had these slab sides, and it was game over. The whole automotive industry had to switch. They couldn't do fins anymore because it was out of style immediately.
Is the Continental the one that's, I'm trying to think, there's one that is it's literally like when all the windows are down and the top's down, it's literally like flat from the back to the...
Yeah.
To the...
Yeah, it's actually windshield. I have a 65 in my garage. But that's the car JFK died in. Like everybody recognized it as the car that the president died in.
Right.
He had the stretched convertible version, but it's like it's the sides are pretty much flat.
Mm-hmm.
It's got this great chrome line that basically boxes out the whole side. And yeah, with the top down on the convertible version, like it folded into the trunk. It was one of the first cars that had the convertible top that automatically just the trunk opened, the top went into it. You didn't have to see it anymore. So
that's a beautiful car.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm a big fan.
Mine ain't as beautiful as the one you're probably imagining in your
right.
head, but I'm working
someday
on it.
You're working on it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
My dream would be somewhere between a 63, 64, or 65 Impala.
Yeah.
You know, I know that's pretty much, you know, pretty generic because there's so many of them, especially in hip hop. You know what I mean?
You ever go to Back to the 50s? The car show?
Well, I have. Yeah. I used to live in North St. Paul, so I used to go down to the car show pretty much every other weekend.
So there's this, and I don't, if maybe the person who owns the car listens to your podcast, and I'm going to put it out there because I want it in a damn music video. Whoever owns this four-door dark blue 63 Biscayne that's been sitting in the same spot at Back to the 50s for the past 4 years, I want your car. I like, it's just simple and clean. It's just low. It's on half-moon hubcaps. Right now, the only person that knows what I'm talking about is the dude who owns this car.
Right.
But I want that car in a music video. The 63.
All right, the word is out.
Yeah, the Biscayne, for those who don't know, everybody knows what an Impala looks like because you've seen Dr. Dre's videos.
Yep.
But yeah, Biscayne is just basically the base model version of an Impala. There's no bells and whistles. It's just plainer.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. I'll have to look into that.
Yeah.
Now, you're more of a older car, classic car guy then.
Not yes and no.
Or you said the drifting too. That's kind of a
yeah. That's car. Newer cars.
Yeah.
But
how about how do you feel about like hybrid cars or I know you're probably like a muscle car kind of guy.
Yeah, I do like muscle cars, but I'm not mad at hybrid cars as long as I think everybody probably has a problem with hybrid cars in that nobody has figured out how to design one that just looks like a regular car.
Right.
Unless it's like an afterthought. Mm-hmm. You know, the Prius came out. You remember the first Prius and how ugly it was? Yeah. Like in the era of the Toyota Echo, like nobody wanted to touch that car with a 50-foot pole. It was hideous. But now you got car companies that are, you know, and the other side of that was the Civic Hybrid or the Accord Hybrid, where Honda was like, oh, we aren't in the hybrid game yet. Crap. Like, we better just throw some hybrid stuff into one of our big sellers anyway.
Right.
And, you know, now you've got some car companies that have actually made hybrids look cool. The Fisker Karma, Google that. It's a pretty looking car.
Okay.
And it's fresh. I think they're already out of business because that's just not a viable model, but it looks fresh. And it's not cheap, though. I think you had to pay like $170 for one.
Damn.
It's baller style, but it's a baller car. Yeah. Yeah.
How about and I know it's not hybrid, the Tesla, the new Tesla.
The new Tesla, the four-door? I know a lot of people who don't even know what Tesla is. Tesla's all electric, so that's not even hybrid. Right. I think that's the future, but see, my brother and I, we talk about these things because that is where the automotive industry is going, unfortunately. And I say unfortunately because my brother's point would be that we're going there because we think it's more green and we're trying to get off oil reliance, right?
Right.
Well, you're going to have to replace those batteries at some point. And what do you do problem. With the old ones?
Yep.
Like, so if you've ever accidentally dropped a car battery and seen the crap that spills out of it, or if you've like really destroyed your phone and seen the battery like open, you don't want that in a landfill.
Right.
At all. Like that, I would argue, is probably worse for the environment than any amount of gas or oil you burn driving a conventional car. It's actually greener to keep an old gas guzzler on the road than it is to buy a brand new Prius. That's been proven.
Now, you think of the size of like this is not just a car battery that we're talking here, especially for like the Tesla, which is all electric.
Yeah, they have like something like 4,000 small batteries tucked into that
car.
It's
ridiculous, but I mean, the Tesla is a beautiful car.
Yeah,
it really is. If you're talking like you got the hybrid and you got this electric car, it's a beautiful car. But what do those go for? You know, the price offhand?
I don't. They're too expensive for mere mortals.
Right.
I mean, that's been the problem with hybrids and certainly for electric cars. Nobody's been able to afford them.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Unless you got that rap money. But if you got that rap money, you're looking
at the Maybach.
You got to get something that looks like you got rap money.
Right. Yeah. The Rolls Royce.
You know.
Now, something I'm looking forward to in the automobile industry is the autonomous cars, the cars that drive themselves.
I don't know, man. I like driving.
Right.
You know, to me, it's important to me to feel connected to the road.
Yeah.
And it's
fun. I don't think it will ever come to a point where there's just cars that drive themselves. There won't be, because there's always going to be classic collectors, you know.
Well, then let me ask you this. So you enjoy driving your car.
Not really.
Well, maybe not you, but I'm saying, like, hypothesize with me. You're a person that enjoys driving your car, and maybe you even spent a little extra money, and you bought yourself a really nice car. You got that BMW M3, and you're so excited about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you pull up to a light, and a couple guys next to you look at you, and they give you the thumbs up, and you're feeling really great. And you merge onto the freeway, and you put the foot down, and you get into the fast lane, and you're doing really great. And then you look next to you, and there's a car with nobody driving it. Like, how safe do you feel when it's time for you to change lanes and you got to get across to make your exit?
Yeah. Okay. Now, here's the thing. There is going to be, I would say, maybe even like the first 10 years that these are on the road.
Oh, there's going to be massive.
People are
going to
be like, man, I don't.
Being in a no fault state.
Yeah. The idea is there's sensors and it's consistently reading data that's surrounding the car, you know, so it sees an accident or if someone's getting into the lane, it like brakes or it's supposed to, you know, there's a lot of work to be done.
Man, you know, we have lemon laws in this country about so if somebody sells you a car that's got faults, that you should be able to return it without having to lose everything in the process, right? But that means that there are lemons out there.
Yeah.
That means that you can buy a car that's so messed up that the car company can't fix it for you.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how many times you take it in or no matter how awesome your warranty is. And I don't want to see what an autonomous car that's a lemon
Right.
Performs. I don't want to see what that looks like.
That's true. That's
true. Like, you get in it and it's like, you say, I want to go here. And it's like, great, let's go. And it just takes you the wrong direction. Like, that's cute and annoying and is disruptive to your day. But when you're like, I want to go over here, and it decides that like a waterway is the same as a roadway, like, no,
right.
You're going to die.
You know, like I said, there's a lot of work to get to that point.
Oh, you're going to die.
Yeah. So there's
many humans will die. In the process,
I like to think not.
Yeah,
but,
you know,
something's gonna happen eventually.
It's, you know, you're gonna imagine hitting a deer, like stuff that we have to deal with. The reality of our roadways, like,
right,
you know, that pothole that would take out your axle or flatten a tire.
Mm-hmm.
With you behind the wheel, you can avoid it. An autonomous car, I don't know that it's gonna avoid it. If it just hits it straight on and you lose an axle.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not in control of
your
car.
Or some sort of computer cable that's controlling the car, you know, brakes.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, my wife's got a newer Volkswagen, and it threw the airbag fault code the other day. Like, just, here's an airbag warning. Like, she's like, is this thing going to explode in my face? I mean, do you want a car that's just all electronics?
Right.
I don't know, man.
It's an interesting future for the.
I don't fear change,
cars.
But I know that the transition there is going to be ridiculously bad.
I think I read a lot of technology. I read a technology magazine called Wired, and it's predicting by the end of the century there will be cars on the road that are driving themselves.
It's happening in California.
Yeah,
Google didn't even ask permission; they just started doing it.
Arizona or Colorado also has testing. Yeah, so. Just look forward to that. So when you look over and you see that car with nobody in it or something, you know, just, I mean, as it stands, California and I think the other state, there has to be someone at the wheel, regardless if their hand's on the wheel or not.
See, I think the police should never give you a ticket if you're trying to avoid being near one of those cars. If you're speeding to evade being near one of those things, I think that should be an automatic pass.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to Twin Cities music.
Yeah,
the Twin Cities hip hop scene.
Yeah.
So tell me, I've read Big Zach's book, and he touches on the professionalism of High Respect
and the idiocy of myself. Yeah.
Oh yeah, you said some things.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's young and dumb.
Right, 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 right. Like when you played with High Respect at the Hole and were booed in the front row.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think that book is dope. I know that not everybody's a fan of that book, and probably anybody outside of the Twin Cities wouldn't care because it's really about his experience here.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, maybe it's a window into a time in the Twin Cities hip hop scene. But I think it's dope that he wrote it, and I hope that there are others who will, a few years down the road, sort of tell it from their side of the story as well.
That's exactly what I told him. I was like maybe for you to write. Your viewpoint, you know, especially coming from St. Paul, the Minneapolis view, you know what I mean? It's very cool.
Yeah.
I would absolutely read anyone else's.
Yeah, it's interesting. And I'm reading his new book right now, his sci-fi book. I just started, like, so I don't have a whole lot to say on it yet. I'm, like, probably 20 pages in.
Right.
But, yeah, man, I think it's dope that he wrote it.
Yeah. I got it, too. I haven't read it yet.
Yeah.
I will get into it. So what do you... We'll get into actually what you're doing here, but what else do you listen to?
Right now, the thing that's still on repeat in my car at the moment is Lioness's new mixtape, Queen. Like, she's got a track. She's got a bunch of tracks on there that I really like, but her track on there with B.Croc is, I'm feeling that one.
Mm-hmm.
This is what we do for a living. It's not a trend. I like that. I like that track a lot.
Okay. I'm not familiar with her. Actually, my first real...
We're going to have to get you familiar with Lioness.
Okay,
You're going to want her in here, too.
The one thing I have heard is the cabinet video that you guys have of...
The Hard Way?
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
And that kind of showcases just about everyone, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's everybody in on the cabinet except Jay, who sings, and there's not really a huge spot for singing in that track,
right.
So...
That's a pretty hype song, you know?
Yeah.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
But yeah, I'm listening to Lioness. Still liking Greg Reese's last record. I listen to a lot of stuff. I actually don't listen to that much local hip hop on a regular basis, but it's like I try to go out of my way to listen to it when something new comes out. But yeah, That's why I'm actually really excited about Lioness, because she's one of the few things locally that's like stayed in my car for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool. Doing the show really, I've always been a fan of Twin Cities Hip Hop, but you know, actually meeting the people, you know what I mean? And they come by and bring me a CD and I'm like, check it out. And, and I haven't had a bad listen.
Nobody's brought you crap yet?
No.
You know you're recording right now, yeah. So you have to be a little nice.
It's going to happen eventually.
Wink at me one time if you're lying right now.
No.
He didn't wink. He didn't wink at all. All right.
Actually, probably my favorite one I've gotten, and I actually just playing it again today, is the new Crunchy Kids album.
Yeah, see, and I haven't had a chance to listen to that yet.
It's pretty cool. Pretty cool.
Yeah.
Another live hip-hop band from Twin Cities. Mm-hmm. Well, chances, whatever.
There's
Minnesota hip hop.
There's a lot of bands in the Twin Cities now. I remember. I mean, when High Respects first started, there was only one other like rap band that I was aware of, and that's this crew that was also out of Central High School where we got started, called Full Circle.
Okay.
There were sort of loosely tied into Headshots, which sort of eventually became a couple crews, but eventually really became Rhymesayers. Mm-hmm. And I have no idea where they are now, and I really wish I did, because I'd like to see them and be like, hey, you know, you guys were doing it when we got started. And I don't know that they were necessarily an inspiration to us, but they definitely were able to show us that it's, you know, they were definitely able to show us that you could actually keep going at this. It wasn't just like a thing you do in high school.
Right.
So
that's cool.
Yeah.
They laid the groundwork for you guys.
They showed us it was possible, and they had a very different sound than us, which is why, well, I guess they did inspire us in that they showed us that it was possible. They weren't necessarily musically our inspiration, but they showed us that you could do it.
Right.
So.
You want to talk booze?
Yeah.
You want to talk booze? Before we started recording here, you mentioned you're a Crown Royal guy.
Yeah, we were talking about sponsors and unofficial sponsorship. You might as well plug yours now.
Right. Pearson, Salted Nut Roll.
Yeah.
Shout out.
Yeah, and me and my homeboy.
I'm still waiting for that phone call.
me and my homeboy Mastermind have been talking about sponsors too, because he's got in mind a sponsor that he really wants to try to pull in for him. And I've joked for years, because I used to drink a lot more Crown Royal than I do today. Mm-hmm. I've joked for years that Crown Royal might as well sponsor me for all the people that I've sort of put up on their product in the Twin Cities. I feel like a lot of people in my circle were hardcore Jameson drinkers,
right?
And I switched them over.
Okay, Jameson's a good one too.
Jameson's good. I'm not hating, but yeah, for whatever reason, I just like Crown Royal better at the time. So, you know, for me being a brand ambassador, they might as well sponsor me. That's all I was saying.
I went through my Crown Royal phase probably in my mid-20s.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, once in a while, splurged for that the XR. Is that what the
special reserve? Yeah.
Yeah, that was, and that's smooth, man. I like Crown Royal to begin with, but the special reserve is...
It's all good. I like the black because it's a little spicier.
Okay.
And I the maple is the most interesting one to me. But not the best one. It's like
maple.
Yeah, they came out. I don't know if it's. I mean, they come out with it hard in the fall.
Okay.
And like you open it up, and it. I mean, it's a Canadian company.
Yep.
How are they not going to do something with maple, right?
Yeah.
But I mean, they come out with it hard in the fall, and you open up the bottle, and before you even try to drink it, it just smells like pancakes in your house. And I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing when you want to drink.
I'd be all right with that.
But to me, it's like that one's the novelty one. I think just the regular and the black are sort of the standbys, and then the special reserve is good and smooth. And it's, you know, Crown Royal, as far as whiskeys go, it's a real good whiskey for the price.
I agree.
So
I agree.
You can't hate on it. But, you know, there are a lot of other whiskeys in that category, too, if you're worried about the price.
Right.
Nowadays, I'm drinking stupidly more expensive stuff just because my tastes change.
Right, yeah.
And, In the world of dark liquors, there's so much to try that there's no reason you should drink the same thing every time. Right. Like, buy a bottle of something.
Mm-hmm.
Remember it if you like it, sure.
Yeah.
Maybe keep the empty bottle around like you did in your college days.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. Put it up on top of the cupboards in the kitchen.
Yep.
That can be the thing that annoys your significant other the most. But there's no reason to buy that bottle again unless that's, you know, absolutely your new favorite. Like, move on to something else. Right. There's like every single,
and you push that on your buddies. When
every
they come
whiskey,
over.
Every scotch, every bourbon. Like, there's a thousand variants from every company.
Yeah. So what's your go-to right now then?
My go-to right now is Maker's Mark.
Maker's Mark.
That's okay. That's like if you catch me at a bar and I don't know what I want, I'm gonna say Maker's Mark on the rocks.
Okay.
I've stopped mixing my drinks too much. But I will say the one exception, if summertime outdoors, mix your drinks. If you're gonna drink rum, definitely mix your drinks. Big Jess is a big rum drinker. He's rum and coke, man.
Rum and coke.
So okay. we do rum and cokes when we're in the studio at Big Jess's crib. I put my wife and I went on our honeymoon to the Virgin Islands and got put up on the painkiller, which is cream of coconut, pineapple, orange juice, fresh ground nutmeg, and rum.
Damn.
And that's just like, that's islands in your mouth. Like you just that just
that would go down too easy.
Yeah, and that's like, yeah. And that's exactly what it's supposed to do. Right. Go down easy, have you faded kind of quick.
Yep.
Yeah.
You make that at home?
Oh, yeah.
with the fresh ground nutmeg?
Yeah, the place that we stayed when we went to St. John's, we got down there and we got this. We booked it all online and had no idea what we were doing. Had never been. If you had asked me where the Virgin Islands were on a map, I would have pointed in the wrong place. But we booked it, figured it out real quick, mm-hmm. got down there, got to the hotel. Figured out that, like, with the hotel we were in, we had, like, our own whole kitchen.
Nice.
And so we were like, well, we're going to put some things in the fridge. And we went down to the beach on day number two. And I'd gone up to the bar and I'd gotten us some drinks. And I got us both painkillers. We both immediately liked them. So we got us some painkillers and we're drinking them. And it's her turn to go. So I'm like, you're going to go get us a couple more drinks, baby? And she's like, yeah, and she's gone for a long ass time. And she comes back with like a whole bottle of rum, the coconut, a whole bottle of orange juice, and a whole bottle of pineapple. She came back with the makings of, like, right. She came back with the bar.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we we got wasted on that and had a great time.
Nice. So. That's good. That's good. Nice. It, you know, when you're in the tropical environment, you know, and you get drunk, it's just kind of like, man, I can do whatever the hell I want, you know?
Yeah.
So let's go make our own.
Yeah. we had a good time.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's good. Hey, happy congratulations. How long ago was this?
It was January.
Oh, damn. That was...
Yeah. We got married. We planned the trip to the islands before we decided to get married. And our marriage was very small and very short notice. Mm-hmm. Everything about our marriage, including the party that we just had a couple weeks ago to celebrate our marriage 6 months later on, was... Oh, by the way, we're going to get married. You going to come over or what? Right. Oh, by the way, we're going to have a party. Are you going to come over or what? You know.
Nice. What was the weather like here when you guys got married?
Cold. We did it small in our living room, and which was good because doing an outdoor wedding in the winter is the stupidest idea you ever heard of.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm sure it's been done.
Not by me. No, it was cold because the next day, because that was the 15th of January, and then on the 16th, I have a series of my 16-16 series that I do, so I don't know if you know about that.
I do not.
So on the 16th every month, I do, regardless of what else is going on, I produce a track, write a 16-bar verse to it, record that track, and then go out and film a video for it, edit it, and put it out.
Damn.
All on the 16th. So if I have to do that before and after work, that's what I'm doing. If I have to do that, you know, on a weekend where I've got tons and tons of time, that's what I'm doing. Sometimes I get overambitious. Sometimes stuff breaks, but it's still got to get out.
Right.
So that next day, so we got married. Then on the next day, I did the track, the 16-16 mm-hmm. thing. My buddy Keith was kind enough to hold the camera. We were outdoors at like 9:30 in the evening. It was like 5 below. And I'm standing out there in tennis shoes in the middle of a field where there's a whole bunch of broomball hockey rink things.
Right.
And I'm freezing my ass off. And the next morning, I was on a plane going to the Virgin Islands. It was like the most...
You know, you should just keep that in your mind.
Yeah,
like,
I went
to be in the fucking Virgin Islands tomorrow.
Well, I went from... It was 12 below that night. That was, for those who live in Minnesota and remember January really well, we had a snap that was like 12 to 16 below at night
yeah.
for like a week.
Yeah.
And We didn't plan it to be this way, but that's the week that we ended up being where it was 82 degrees and sunny the whole day.
Nice.
And we apparently timed our exit perfectly. But I even said it in my 1616. Yesterday, I jumped the broom. Tomorrow, jumping on a plane and headed to the beach. And I said that standing in a field of snow. So.
Nice. Yeah. We'll get into that here in the next segment. Maybe we should take a break quick, and we're going to eat some Pearson salted nut rolls.
Let us take an intermission.
We're going to enjoy them. And we'll be right back with the official Felix interview. The real deal.
Word up.
All right.
I'm hungry, but I don't know what I want to eat.
Well, let's eat at White Castle.
No, I don't want little burgers. I want a big burger. Plus, my farts will really smell.
Okay, first off, your farts already smell. Second, you can just eat enough sliders to equal a regular burger.
No, I don't want White Castle.
Don't be an asshole. Eat at White Castle.
White Castle is not affiliated with this ad in any way, shape, or form.
Are we here? We're here. We're back. Felix, you still here?
Where are we?
We're here. Oh. Right here. Right now.
Oh, okay.
Right now.
Yeah, I'm here, I guess.
We're right here. We're back. We were just, we took a break and we ate the Pearson Salted Nut Roll, the unofficial sponsor of the Thank You Rob podcast.
It was delicious.
Good. They love to hear that at Pearson's. You told me about your
16 thing, yeah.
Okay. So we were talking about, and he was showing me some of his videos that, so every 16th of the month,
yep.
you produce a beat yourself, you write the verse.
Write a 16-bar verse.
And then do a video for it.
Yeah.
And then it comes out on the 16th.
Yeah, all myself. It has to be me. I can't enlist. I've enlisted help on videos in so far as I've had people hold the camera.
Okay.
And with one of them, I had help editing because I didn't know what the hell I was doing on the first couple. All
right.
Because I'm no video genius. But I'm learning some things. You know, I'm having fun with the project. The whole point is that it's a challenge for me as an artist to get it all done in one day. And it is really hard to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What I wanted to say was, I used to be a part of the rap scene, like I said before. And I was like, I gave it up.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of felt like I had to continue doing something.
Well, you're still interviewing rappers.
That
makes you a part of the rap scene.
Right. And I was like, what can I do that is going to be very limited time? You know, limited involvement, and I decided to do the podcast, and it's like, it's actually turned out to be more work than I anticipated, you know what I mean? So I'm sure you find the same thing with your 16.
The first couple episodes of my 1616 project, like, just the act of getting them onto YouTube,
right?
The first one just felt like, oh my God, I can do it. I can actually do this. And the first one, I go back and look at it, and I'm like, I like the beat, but like, I hadn't figured out that I should record the explanation and sort of vocal intro into the actual recording of the song.
Yeah.
So the first one, if you go back and watch it, it's like me standing outside and you just hear me talking at the camera and all the noise of what's going around me, like at this loading dock area where I was at.
Right.
And it's simple stuff, you know.
Yeah.
But we were talking about this. We should have just saved this off for the interview, you know. But it's like it's harder to memorize your stuff for the camera than it is to write it.
Right.
At some point, if you're doing something quick. Yeah. So that's the time consuming part. Mm-hmm. And then editing and the painstakingly slow movement on uploading to Vimeo and to YouTube.
Right.
You see the little bar, the progress bar, mm-hmm. and it's not going anywhere. The worst. The worst.
Well, let's give them a little background here of who the hell is this Felix fella that we're talking with here. You came up with a band, your live hip-hop band.
Yeah.
The High Respects.
Yep.
Central High School, St. Paul.
St. Paul all the way. Right. Yep.
Born and raised.
Yep.
Really, a lot of this is covered in the Big Zach book, Headspins, Headshots, and Hip-Hop.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't remember it.
Zach's going to listen to this podcast. Yeah. He's going to write you into the next book. It's like, and this motherfucker didn't even remember the name of my shit.
I'll redub that later and we'll get it right. We'll get it right.
It's all good.
Yeah.
Zach loves you. Don't worry about it.
He's a good guy. But you guys, man, you did some big things. High Respects, man. You guys toured a lot. And
yeah, we've been really blessed to be able to make a little bit of noise in the Twin Cities and made a little bit of noise elsewhere in the country. We've seen 48 of the 50 states. You know, we really have gotten around, and we've been able to reach out and touch a lot of our fans. And we slowed it down a bit, sort of intentionally, because I feel like as a band we had maybe gotten to a point where we were burning out just a little bit. Maybe not so much creatively, but just the road can get to you.
Mm-hmm.
So we felt like maybe we needed to stop touring. And coincidentally, at the time when we were starting to feel that way, we also rolled and totaled our van.
Oh, really?
So that was pretty much like, I'm pretty sure the world wants
everyone
us to stop
in the
right
van.
Now. Yeah, and we were all fine. I got the worst of it. I felt like my seatbelt failed, and I put my ass through a window.
Just your ass?
So, you know, I had...
Just your ass?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we landed on the side in a snowbank.
Yeah.
And everybody else is still buckled in and sort of hanging awkwardly,
mm-hmm.
except for me, whose butt is on the ground in the snow through this window. Everybody else is fine. The ambulance shows up. We got lucky. Where we crashed was just west of Fargo, and on one side of the bridge that we crashed by, because we had a patch of black ice under a bridge,
mm-hmm.
one side of that was a hotel, and on the other side was the local AAA spot.
Oh, wow.
And right behind us on the road was an off-duty firefighter with all his radio stuff.
Okay.
So
that's cool.
We got, you know.
You know, that's kind of a...
We got lucky.
Are you familiar with the rapper Tech N9ne?
Yeah.
I used to be into him pretty much like 5 years ago, and I think he was just leaving the Twin Cities, you know, heading west, and his van and trailer like got same deal, like
yeah.
in the middle of winter. I want to say that same area.
Yeah, know? It's it's the winter. It's the upper Midwest.
Yeah. Winds and
it can be hectic.
Yeah,
you know.
So where were you guys heading from there?
We were headed home from a tour.
Okay.
We were headed, the last show on the tour was in Boise, Idaho,
mm-hmm.
and we were just trying to get home.
Right.
Yep. And my ass got glass in it. Everybody else was fine. I mean, we were fine. It was really nothing. Even with a little bit of blood, the paramedics were like, "Do you need help?" I'm like, "No, find me my goddamn glasses." You know, which got lost in the accident.
Okay.
But they found them.
Okay.
And then I was fine.
Good.
Whatever.
And then, so that was the last tour you guys did?
That was the last sort of national tour we did.
Okay.
And that was a few years ago now. But we've come out with records, and we've done the regional thing, and we've really decided to just sort of stay Midwest and really not go any further west than Denver for right now. And that decision came largely because, you know, everybody wants to sort of stay at home more. We got lazier.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we actually got lazier. We all got different priorities. People get kids, and people get married, and mm-hmm. people get, you know, jobs they actually like. Sean was a hip hop studies program director for McNally Smith. Peter, our drummer, is the program director, period, at Walker West Music Academy in St. Paul. And I mean, so you're still doing stuff that's tied to music, and you actually like your job. Like,
yeah.
I can't be mad at you.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So.
That's cool.
Yep.
Good for them.
Yep.
And you?
I'm chilling, man. We've always been sort of slow at putting out records as High Respect, so I've been doing the solo thing.
Mm-hmm.
Put out an EP in January. Me and my homeboy Mastermind, I had moved down to Florida with him briefly in 2005, 2006. And we dreamed up this idea for a label and did a lot of sort of like musical soul searching and sort of looking at the Twin Cities rap scene from an outside view, and having a little bit of new perspective was really amazing. And we came up with this idea to start a record label, which we called The Administration down there, and then became Titan Administration Records. And we're just starting to kick that off. He put out a joint release with Soul Tools Records. He put out a mixtape called Mastermind as Denmark VC, you know, presents I Can't Feel Shit Volume 1,
mm-hmm.
and which was a heartache record. And then I put out my EP, the Slow Cold EP, in January, or in December rather. And yeah, man, we just, you know, baby steps, we're just getting started,
right.
But we got some big ideas that we dreamed up a couple years ago back in Florida that we're gonna try to spring on the Twin Cities. I'm excited to see how big we go or how hard we fall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How many artists, or all the artists that are with you on this Titan Administration, are you, they're all local?
Yeah, everybody's, yes and no. I mean, Jay and Bishop just moved to Atlanta. Like, we did this show for the Cabinet release this past weekend, and then literally the next, like, they literally got in the car and drove to Atlanta.
Wow.
After that show. In the stupid weather.
Damn.
Hurricane Minnesota.
Yeah.
And they're like, screw it, we're going to Atlanta.
Where the real hurricanes can hit.
Yeah.
All right. We covered. So now you're working on your own full length
album, yeah,
right? In the midst of all this. You got a lot of shit on your plate, man.
So yeah, me and Big Jess, and shout out to Big Jess, man. This guy, I've been around Unknown Prophets. We've sort of like done this weird dance in the Twin Cities rap scene where High Respects and Unknown Prophets have sort of never actually gotten together on anything, but we've always seen each other. And I've seen them do pack shows, and I'm sure they've seen us do pack shows. And we've done a couple shows here and there together, and we've done shows in their neighborhood, and they've done shows in our neighborhood.
Right.
Last year I got together with Big Jess to do the first couple of tracks. He threw me a couple of tracks for his honorable mention project, yep, which I know you featured. Mm-hmm. And we did a couple songs, and a couple songs became a bunch of songs. And I was like, man, I'm looking for somebody to produce a record and just really anchor a record. I might have a couple other producers on it too, but I need somebody to really make this record cohesive, mm-hmm, you know, like a Large Professor or like, I mean, Kanye West kind of does that now in his own stuff where he does a lot of the production.
Right.
Well, I guess I haven't heard the whole Yeezus record, but I haven't looked at the liner notes on that one yet.
Right.
But, you know, he does a lot of the production, but not all of the production. Mm-hmm. And as a result, it feels like a cohesive project instead of just a bunch of songs that they threw it in some random order. So Jess is anchoring the production on my record. It's done. I know what all the songs sound like. There's a little bit of recording left to do, and we got to go through and actually, like, you know, make everything perfect.
Right.
It's finishing touches time. But we actually started that before I started the Slow Cold EP.
Oh, wow.
And
it's been in the works.
Yeah, it's been in the works.
Yeah.
He works a busy schedule.
He does.
During the winter. And he's been so busy with this honorable mention thing, which, I mean, how many tracks are in the honorable mention project altogether? It's like 90.
Yeah, there's a lot.
When he was getting ready to put out volume one, he was like, I got this idea. It doesn't even have a name yet. I'm thinking maybe 40 tracks. I'm like, and I know he's got more on stash too. Yeah. I mean, he could probably put out like another 40 songs right now. So
yeah, that man. He keeps himself busy.
Yeah, but yeah. So I'm excited to see the. My album is called Something Different, and it's gonna sound different. It's gonna certainly sound different than my EP did.
Yeah.
And I don't know, for better or for worse, it's gonna be different.
Mm-hmm. So what can we expect on the album itself? Features.
On my album,
you can have a posse track.
Yeah, I've got Mastermind and his son Kaleem on a track called I Don't Care, which is about that whole phenomenon of, like, you know, everybody's got their friend where their parents were just like, I don't care what you do,
mm-hmm,
you're not gonna be shit, who cares, just go you want to go out and have fun, go out and have fun, I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I have one friend in particular who I wrote my verse about him, like, you know, that whole I don't care attitude.
Is he the kid?
He's the kid. He was the kid.
Yeah.
You know, he was the one. His mom didn't care. No, I mean, not in like an abusive sense, but just in a. You're gonna go out and do stupid stuff. You go ahead, do stupid stuff. You know, literally, I don't care.
Yeah.
Hence the name of the song, I Don't Care.
All right.
But it's interesting because, like, you know, you have my perspective with, like, sort of a personal friend story. And then you have Kaleem, who's 15. So, you know, he could very well be that kid. He's not.
Right.
But he could very well be that kid. And he took that whole thing as, like, the, you know what? I'm trying to figure out what me is.
Mm.
So I don't care what you have to say.
Right.
You know, and then his dad, Mastermind, is on some... Bring on the haters.
Yeah.
I don't care what y'all say.
Right.
You know?
Right. Three different perspectives.
Yeah. So I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
I got Lioness on a track. Shout out to the Lioness. Got Muad'Dib from High Respects, our other MC/singer/beatboxer extraordinaire. Got him to come in and do a couple of little things here and there.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Having fun with it.
Yeah.
Got Big Jess to actually rap.
Nice.
You know, he told me at first there was no way he's going to rap. Got him.
Nice.
Got Ashley Gold back because it's so fun to work with her. We did the track Away From Here on my EP, and that came out really good. And Jess wanted to work with her for the honorable mention thing, and I think we just like working together, so we just gonna keep on doing that for
that's
a while.
That's cool. Yeah. That's cool. Hey, so you shout out Big Jess. I have to shout out Ace, Amber Ace Cleveland. Every show she gets
what
a
up,
shout
Ace?
Out. She hooks up a lot of interviews. She's like, you gotta interview this guy.
Yeah.
This girl. Get this one on there. Yeah, she's got a long list for me. I got a lot of people to work on.
Here. Man, I got a list for you too.
Well, cool. I will take that.
Yeah.
You know what? I was just reading up on Hyrospecs.
Yeah.
Tell me about December 22nd.
December 22nd is the official in St. Paul. That's our official day. So
Hyrospecs Day.
The mayor named it Hyrospecs Day, December 22nd.
That's cool, man.
Yeah, we always do a big holiday show like right before sort of Christmas, and because a lot of people that aren't usually in town come back to visit family,
mm-hmm.
and it's like. You know you don't just want to be locked up in your mom or your grandma's house.
Right.
Get out and come to a rap show, damn it.
That's cool. So you guys still do that?
Yeah, oh yeah, we still do it. We're actually talking about releasing our new record like right before,
okay.
like on maybe not on the 22nd. I don't remember what day of the week that is this year, but
okay.
yeah, we're talking about releasing our record in late December, time with that show.
So not only are you running this, the label itself,
yeah.
and working on your solo project, you got the Hyrospecs album.
Yeah.
That's
coming. A lot of people doubt because we take so long to make records.
Yeah.
But it is coming. Cool. I've been saying that for years, and I have not been lying for years.
You just like to build anticipation.
Yeah.
So this is what happens on Hyrospecs Day. Is it just the day we guys do that show?
Yeah, I mean, St. Paul needs to stop and smell the roses every once in a while and recognize that there's awesome talent.
Right.
So if we represent some amount of talent, like, you know, listen to Hyrospecs, sure, but just recognize talent around you. That's what I tell people to do.
Yeah. That's cool, man. So when did that take place?
When did that? That was, that was the Turf Club where we announced it. So that was our 10-year anniversary. So that was 2007.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yep.
That's cool.
Yeah, I'm not pretending I'm young in there. You know what I'm saying? Brother in his 30s.
Yeah. Hey, I'm with you. So you guys, at one point, Hyrospecs were part of Interlock.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Interlock, I mean, yeah, we had a, me and Zach and Sky Rossi, who's now over at Rhymesayers, and Crescent Moon, formerly of CMI / Wordplay / Odd Jobs, now like I can't keep track, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And a bunch of other cats that sort of gravitated around that group of people,
mm-hmm.
all started to say we should do something with this, and we mm-hmm. started what we called it the Hip Hop Co-op. We didn't really think of ourselves at first as a label, I think.
Okay.
And just decided to try to make some music together. It was great because, you know, we just end up hanging out a lot,
mm-hmm.
and you bounce ideas off each other. It ended up, I mean, looking back at it, it is a lot of what I'm really excited about with my label, where it ends up being like a creative lock-in a lot of times. Like, mm-hmm. you'd get times where everybody's over at Mesh's old crib in South Minneapolis just vibing,
mm-hmm.
listening to beats, and you got Carnage and Muad'Dib and Tri-D and like you know what is now Hecatomb is all in the room together, like, oh yeah, check out this verse I just wrote, check out this line right here at the end, you're gonna just, you know, and then people just spitting their verses for each other and
right.
like using big words and stuff that's completely unnecessary but is a lot of fun,
right?
And you know, then you got Mesh upstairs like messing with his beats, and he's like, oh, I got one for you. And then you got Steve from Odd Jobs, or you got, you know, at the time Devin Callahan up there, like, we got a couple beats tucked in here too,
mm-hmm.
you know. We met a lot of cool people. We saw a lot of people come up. We did a lot of fun shows. The band always was a little separate from Interlock in that really I was like, me and Muad'Dib were the only ones who actually really had any real interaction with sort of like the day in, day out rap life of Interlock.
Right.
And in a lot of ways, what Doomtrees was doing is sort of like, as they were getting bigger, reminds me, just in feel, not in like the business sense or anything like that, but just in feel reminds me of how it felt to be in Interlock early.
Okay.
Like, you know, looking in from the outside, Doomtree seemed to be kind of like a rowdy party.
Yeah.
You know, and that's kind of how Interlock was,
mm-hmm.
in a good way. You know, it just felt like we're just having a shit ton of fun,
yeah.
going to a lot of parties, making a lot of cool music, going, you know, throwing some fun shows, meeting some fun people.
Mm-hmm.
It was a blast.
Those were the days.
Yeah.
Now you're all growed up.
Yeah, but
making your own label.
I'm still doing stupid rowdy stuff, but yeah.
Within reason now.
Sometimes.
All right. I like that. So where can people check out the music and everything? And I want to buy a Felix album.
Yeah. So
where do I get that?
The EP is at Fifth Element in Minneapolis. It's at Urban Lights in St. Paul. If you want the digital experience instead, it's definitely on iTunes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can't
shout
deny
out to Tim Wilson.
Yeah,
Urban Lights.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. What's up, Tim?
I've had him on the show. Great guy.
Yeah,
great
man. Guy. I grew up around Urban Lights. My mom's house is 10 blocks from there.
Okay.
I remember standing outside for hours watching the mural get painted on the side of that building.
Wow, cool.
Hours, and now it's not there anymore.
Well, they got a beautiful light rail going through now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm sorry. You got TitanAdministration.com. Right?
Yeah. Yep. That's right. that's the label.
Yep.
That's who's on Titan Administration Records is also on the cabinet. It's myself, Mastermind, the Guardians of Balance, his young son Kaleem, who's 15 and is super duper talented. We're trying to get him to put a record out next. The Lioness, again, super duper talented. Her mixtape just came out couple months ago. Queen, that's the one I'm still banging in the car,
right.
And then Tri Bishop, who is a cat who came out of the High School for Recording Arts in St. Paul and is maybe one of the, like, he just writes, how does Mastermind put it, like, some people you can tell they're into music,
mm-hmm.
like Tri Bishop is music. This kid just breathes music.
Wow.
All he produces, he sings, he raps, he writes for other people. He's starting to get into the video stuff more. He's a dope engineer. Like, he mixed and mastered this whole record, The Cabinet, which you have in your hands right now. And
I think
talented. And then his wife Jay Cryer is a dope singer, and she's also in The Cabinet. It's just
awesome. I think a good foray into this. Anyone interested, check out the video. The Hard Way, right?
Yeah, The Hard Way.
It's on
YouTube. It's The Cabinet, The Hard Way.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool, you know, it's the posse track of the album, right?
Yeah,
or all of them, like
a lot of them have all of us, but that one definitely feels like the posse cut.
Yeah, it's a banger. It's
Nicodemus made the beat, and we just all get rowdy. We try to sort of capture the raw, let's jump up and down energy of Onyx's video for Slam.
Right. Yeah.
Back in the day, Adam Dunn helped us with the video and was instrumental in making that feel actually come across.
I think it does very well. Online, where can we go to buy anything?
The Cabinet, that record just came out. It'll be on iTunes. It's supposed to be on iTunes tomorrow.
Okay.
Tomorrow, as we record this, it is not quite the 4th yet.
Right. So but, tomorrow this will be on, and
by the time you hear this, by the time you hear this, it should be on iTunes.
There you go.
Like that. We'll just put it like that.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, for right now, it's in a trunk of my car. It's also at Urban Lights and Fifth Element.
Okay.
It'll be elsewhere quickly. We're not done making noise with it, so you'll get to see and hear more.
Mm-hmm. How about yourself? Your solo stuff?
Solo stuff again. Fifth Element. Urban Lights, iTunes, Amazon, all of that stuff.
Right. Your local online retailer.
You can check out your fine local establishments such as Fifth Element,
right,
or Urban Lights.
Right.
Walk into Urban Lights and buy a damn mixtape.
Yeah, yeah.
Just for the experience, you need to meet Tim. That dude is a Twin Cities rap legend.
Yeah. If you have like a free 3 hours and you just want to bullshit with someone about music, you can just pop in there.
If you just want to learn about rap music,
yeah, right, yeah.
He's a real good person to talk to. Yeah.
Or you could go back to like episode number 6 or 7, whatever it was, and of this podcast, and listen to Tim, get a feel for him, because he will literally school you.
Yeah.
On what you think you know.
Yeah. He's one of those dudes. You know, you always meet the guy who kind of knows everything because they've listened to a lot of whatever. Well, he's listened to a lot of it, met that guy.
Yeah, right.
Like,
yeah.
Been to his studio. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, he's been there. So, Tim's a good dude.
Do you know Egypto Knuckles?
Yeah.
He's another one.
Yep.
So, literally, if you want to get in a room with Tim Wilson and Egypto Knuckles and just soak it in.
Yeah.
You know?
Add Kevin Beecham to that room and you'll just know everything there is to know.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, Felix, man, I appreciate you doing the show here.
Thank you for having me.
Coming by.
Thank you for having me.
For those who are unaware, you can go to thankyourob.com and you can check out past interviews on the show here, episodes. I do another podcast. It's called Some People's Kids Podcast.
Mm-hmm.
It's a comedy podcast, and it could make you laugh. If you're having a shitty day, just, you know, throw on a little Some People's Kids and listen to us bullshit about music and movies. And
should have me back for that one, because on Facebook...
we haven't had a guest yet.
On Facebook, you said... We were going to talk about swimsuit models and antiquing.
Oh, shit. That's right. That's right.
And I didn't know if you meant antiquing like shopping for antiques or like hitting people in the face with bags of flour when they're asleep.
And that's good, too.
And that would be pretty funny.
Let's talk about that quick. Ninja weapons. You like ninja weapons?
I do enjoy a good ninja weapon.
Well, between throwing stars, katana blades.
I don't even need to hear what the next ones are.
Okay.
Throwing stars.
That's all you need.
Throwing stars.
Swimsuit models,
throwing stars. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Swimsuit models. What?
I didn't know what to say about that.
Let's keep it classy. I didn't like it when Sports Illustrated did the painted on everything.
Right.
Okay. No.
Okay.
Wear something where I can take the straps off.
There
please.
You go. Okay. Not just throw a bucket of water on and call it good. Antiquing. Between the two, throwing the. What is it? Flour?
Yeah.
In the face of the sleeping individual, or going to your local antique store and looking at some old Chinese.
Are you asking which one I prefer?
Which one do you prefer?
Well, I don't like to be the receiving end of antiquing.
Right.
So I guess I'll go with shopping for antiques.
Okay, all right.
Because you never know, a brother might need one more crystal decanter.
I don't know what that is.
You put your booze in there, man.
Oh, decanter. Yeah. Gotcha. The other antiquing, throwing the flour in the face, me and my buddy did it to my brother once, and he was fucking raving pissed off.
And he set your laptop on fire.
No, he did not, but I didn't have a laptop at the time, but if I did, he probably would have thrown it. And
he drove over your phone.
No, this was probably before cell phones, too.
He put the bucket of water above your bedroom door.
That would easily follow that, wouldn't it? I'm going to get him back. Put a bucket of water over his door. No, but thanks again for doing the show, man. Any parting words you want to say?
Thank you for having me. To all the people out there in podcast land listening, hi.
Check out the 1616 on the 16th.
Yep. It's on YouTube. Look me up, Midway Felix.
Midway Felix.
Yep. HighRespects.com. Stay at us there. You can find me at who_is_Felix. On Twitter, on Instagram, on Vidi, if anybody even uses that anymore.
What is that?
Vidi, exactly.
Vidi?
Vine, which is completely redundant and stupid now.
Yeah.
And Yep. Just don't even look on Vine. That's a bad idea.
I like Vine. I was late to the Vine game, but I like it.
I seen it early and didn't really think it was going anywhere, mm-hmm. and apparently I was right.
Right.
Thank you, Instagram.
So, yes, go to thankyourob.com. You can also check out, I got graphic design work there that I do. I don't know what else to plug there. Just go there and click on random shit.
Yeah.
And then I'll tag all your other links in this post. So,
fresh.
Anyone listening, just go. You don't have to remember things in this day of technology. You can just click on links. You know, you don't remember phone numbers. You don't remember birthdays. Because it all just reminds you anyways.
All you have to remember is this podcast.
There you go. Thank you, Rob.
The only birthday you have to remember is your mom's.
Oh, that's true.
Yep.
All right. Thanks for thanks again, man.
Yeah.
Until we meet again. This is all that we know. Doesn't always come cheap. I had to get it the hard way. Get it the hard way. This is all that we know. Show the muscle, grit the teeth. I had to get it the hard way. Get it the hard way. This is all that we know. Squad, play your card, Boulevard, you claim.
flaming scarf, flaming bars and rental cars. Writing songs is easier than getting held back. Deja when daylight soul messed up my mind with the eye patch. Blasted y'all for playing along. Remaking everybody's favorite songs. I'm something different. The small steps, a tiger dancing. High respects, OG materials. Their word, not mine. When you always on their mind, it's just a matter of time. The 40-hour struggle, 80-hour hustle. And I'm clowning on these suckers, watch them try to juggle. Talk ain't cheap, it's free, written in the Constitution. Worthless ain't priceless, claim the prostitution. Leave this to us, slipping, looking for solutions. Stop daydreaming, choking on your own noise pollution. Come on.
Doesn't always come cheap, I had to get it the hard way. Get it the hard
this
way.
This is all that we know.
Show the muscle, rip the teeth, I had to get it the hard way. Get it the hard
this
way.
This is all that we know.
Night, grab a pen and write rhymes. The only thing that's on your mind, musically inclined. Grinds or I become the finest. Give honor what honors do. Bow down to your highness. Lioness didn't have the advantage or the silver spoon. Had to build, don't assume it wasn't still, wasn't true. Had to learn the hard way. Take breaks hard late. Doing things our way. Never mind what
I'm
y'all
feeling
say.
Like I'm rap Steve Hawkins. Industry's a coffin. Guess I'm here to haunt them. Chilling like a marksman. Spot on, we awesome. Wilder than a horseman. Lay down the forfeit.
I'll start up the mark.
Forget what the cost is. That's how a boss live. Win it to your nonsense and we make it look gorgeous. Eagle on your voters and we stop your cockroaches till my leg fall asleep. Call it love and devotion.
Doesn't always come cheap. I had to get it the hard way. Get it the hard
this
way.
This is all that we know.
Show the muscle, rip the teeth. I had to get it the hard way. Get it the hard
this
way.
This is all that we know.
What's my recipe to get me here?
Yeah.
And I'm still trying to guess, cause I ain't even finished.
I got in the mix of spitting, so I'm good. Now a good child probed to be a clone, but with such a menace
to society, I'm rioting for independence.
Not religious, but we'll sit here as your witness, see what real is.
Hit my blows, but I replenish faster than the average Joe.
If this ain't your real home, tell me what you here for. Quote,
you don't know the struggles and the pain, trying to gain recognition when they slandering your name.
State your claim for the record, cause you better than them lengths. Though them lengths know you better, your record ain't getting played.
But that's cool, cause the karma loop will come back around.
The facts true, don't know the truth when they recognize the sound.
A genius, dopeness, and forever will glow.
And forever it will show that this is all that we know.
Doesn't always come cheap, I had to get it the hard.